We're going to welcome up next Jason Jepson, our newest corporate sponsor here with Commercial Energy Consulting. Don't do what I did. It's not consultants, it's consulting. So I appreciate the correction.
Thank you.
And take it away, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I don't know how these mics work. I've been told I'm terrible. I can do with or without. Do we need to have it? Okay, we got it. I'll try and do it right here. My name is Jason Jepson. I'm a mechanical contractor. I'm going to tell you just a few things, give you a quick tip or two, and leave it open for questions and maybe an answer if we're lucky. First question, you don't need to tell me if you grow, but I'm curious, who out there grows or knows a grower that's getting, say, a pound or more plant, please? A pound and a half. Very good. Yeah. Who's hitting over that? All right, we have something to talk about now. Thank you very much. This is great. Before we go down that rabbit hole, real quick, who's an MJBA member? Every and should be in the air. Please support the industry, support the association, and talk to Don and Erica real quick. Thanks for taking a minute. Who am I? That's not who. Hold on a second. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. We're all a little bit that, but my name is Jason Jepson. I'm born and raised in Iowa. It's a good place to grow up and be from. But I was a contractor and a homesteader in the Rocky Mountains, and I did a lot of power systems and a lot of heating systems, and did a lot of building of all types of systems that were critical to ag and producers, as well as energy efficiency. I came to Oregon, take it to the next level, start my company, Commercial Energy Consulting. I work a lot with the hospitality and a lot with the agricultural industries. I have a few certifications that are up there. I also work with the Energy Trust of Oregon as a trade ally and an allied technical assistance contractor. What that means to you is that I can bring money to the table for your projects if you pay your utility bill. Why am I here? I want to help producers grow more weed, more better. As we just saw, there's a lot of variables. No situation is the same. I've looked at a few. There's a lot more out there. I'm learning. We're all learning. I could tell you this much. The flower is delicate. It's the most delicate product I've ever encountered. I work with greenhouses from Northern California up to Canada. Flower producers, a lot of nurseries here in Oregon. Nothing compares to this plant. It requires precise control, and that's what I seek to deliver for you guys, is climate control. We do that through energy systems. Those are your common HVAC systems, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. What am I talking about? Machines, not that kind of machine. Although I think it has a normal setting. Rooftop units, ductless heat pumps, economizers. This is the boring stuff. This is what I like a lot. I know you guys want to grow a plant, but these are the machines I'm talking about, and these are the machines and equipment and services that allow you the control to do what you want to do. It's not up to me. I don't know how to grow pot, to be quite honest. I don't grow it. I defer to the experts on that. I was told by an expert in Denver, Colorado, this young man blew me away. He said there's three things. There's the DNA, there's the skill it takes to grow it, and then there's the climate or the environmental conditions maintained by that skill set, right? I've seen in Colorado, the first two, no problem. The second, the last one, disaster. People are throwing their money, throwing their plants down the drain. It's a shame. So what's in it for you guys? Producers, growers, the industry, we need right design. We need people a little bit experienced with a broader view, a systems view, to not just look at the machines, not just look at the ventilation. What are we trying to accomplish? The whole picture. And then take it to the application and the location. Some of us are growing in greenhouses. Some of us are growing in warehouses. Some of us are growing outside. There's a set of requirements and specifications particular to each situation. Doing the math is critical. There are too many rules of thumb going on out there, resulting in a bunch of improper systems. There's another benefit to the math, is that it quantifies energy savings or quantifies systems and allows us to bring more dollars to your enterprise for the equipment and the systems that you need to grow your product. Also, I have the experience and the expertise from 20 years of contracting, pursuing a master's in energy engineering, working with utility companies and the USDA, hundreds of producers. I'm devoted to this industry. I've recognized a lot of the problems, a lot of the challenges, and I seek to help you guys solve that. In the end, I think we all want a consistent, high-quality product with increasing yields per whatever metric we're going to use, light, square foot, et cetera. A couple quick examples. This is a rooftop unit. I'm going to try and give a couple, just run through a couple quick examples here, give you guys a couple tips, and then let you guys ask a question if you want. Won't be as much information as Russ threw at you, so you can take a breath or a drink. These are the most ubiquitous HVAC equipment you're likely to see. If you're renting a warehouse and you're going to grow inside, you're likely have these or will put these on your building. They're cheap, they're inefficient, they're easy to use. Everyone is familiar with them. You can see there's a whole field of them on this roof, even beyond the ones in the front. And what do they connect to on the inside is a flower room or another type of room that requires a cooling or and or heating load. It's connected to ducts up in the upper area and brings the cooling air down. You can see in the foreground there's both vented and unvented lights. We'll come back to that in just a sec. Looking up, I was told very gently by Roxanne that I had a lot of, ceiling pictures? And there's a terrible habit of HVAC contractors to be always like this, checking like that. And what was that, do you say, honey? I was checking out the DHP on the wall. Did you see that? I don't know. I'll try and point out. Maybe you guys are familiar with this. I won't get too geeky on you, but the cooling comes down right there. It's right below the unit, mounted right on the roof. It's distributed out to those diffusers, those little white rings, actually quite high, quite above where we need cooling. The return is higher yet. It's in the next slide. Let's have a quick look. There's another look of a room being outfitted. You can see it's all, get out of the way. Those are clearly unvented lights. Up above, there's the return and the supply for the rooftop unit. These guys are having a heck of a time keeping their plants cool. They're increasing their heat load with more lights to get more product. They're doing a darn good job, but the machines can't keep up. They're getting flogged 24/7, light commercial units. It's going to happen. They're going to wear out prematurely, but let's get the most we can. That's what any HVAC contractor will do. Put it up high, it's going to take the hottest air, try and cool it, and it's going to dump it up above all the heat and try and counteract all that hot air trying to go up. Plants get too hot. They don't get the cooling they need in this condition. I apologize for the quality of this quick sketch. I'm lucky I can actually hold a pencil or a pen with the amount of wires and bolts. I have terrible arthritis, but I took a picture and emailed it to myself. But for example, this is a low-buck solution to that disaster over there, okay? They've got no money. It's a cash-constrained situation. We understand that. We can't just go buy new equipment all the time. We got to get product rolling. We got to get things started. What are we going to do? Ducting is cheap. Insulation is relatively cheap. Take those 12-inch supply ducts, bring them out to 24-inch, drop them down below the lights. What's 24 inches do to it? It slows the air down so it doesn't come out with a punch in the face to your plants. Give them a cold shock, all right? Remove the diffusers. That'll cut down on fan energy, all right? Use your circulation fans, which are there anyhow. Usually exercising your plants, let that do the mixing of the low-velocity air there. It's not going to hurt your plants. You could bring the returns down quite a bit. Instead of taking the hottest air, take less hot air and let that machine not circulate the hottest air trying to deliver it the coolest. It's fighting a losing battle. If we just move the ducts, a little bit of sheet metal, those machines would bow down and serve us all and get us a better product there. You could bring the returns. Here's another idea. What if, and I'm not the grower, you guys are, presumably, hopefully, if we brought the returns down here, maybe below the benches, how would that work? The cooling would be drawn down here. It would get warmed up a little bit by the lights. It'd bring the warmest air by the root zone and not even bother with that hot stratification up there. Leave that alone. So that might take some of the load off of your tired rooftop unit if that's what you're starting with. You might graduate to VRFs, variable refrigerant flow, ductless heat pumps. A lot of people ask me about those. A lot of people are hearing about them. They can be good for certain applications. They won't do everything you want them to do, probably, but they can be quite effective. And the ultimate, at least in my mind, we're going to have a lot of production-type manufacturing, I feel. This is a 24/7 load. The loads that I've measured and calculated in Denver are over 40 watts a square foot, and that means it's usually Greek to people, but it's about the same as a data center, all right? Utility companies are kind of have their head in the sand about this. I talk to them. You know, I work a lot with the Energy Trust. They say, what do you guys need? LEDs. I said, they might need LEDs. Some of them do. There's going to be a large cooling load, like a significant one. And we need to take a close look and get the incentive dollars lined up so that we can put in these kick-ass cooling systems. Why are they kick-ass? That's an economizer over there. When you have loads 24/7, you can take some of that cooling from nighttime, wintertime, use it to do the cooling that your air conditioner or compressor normally would do. It could do part of it, all of it, none of it. These systems hum for data centers, and they hum for some production facilities too. Some of those unvented lights are these, I'll probably say it wrong, but Gavitas or Gavitas from Holland. Multiple settings, dimmable. What I think is kind of cool about them is they're networkable with temperature sensors. So it's like a set of redundancy. It gets too hot in there, dim your lights, dim your whole room. This one, that one, you program it, you control it. Right? All this stuff is, we have all this technology. The nurseries, man, they're way ahead of us, but we can look there and we can take that wisdom and take those controls out of Holland and bring them back here or wherever we need to use them, whatever is right, just let's do it right, let's not make an error, let's get the industry started on the right foot. It's not hard, it just needs to be done. We need to sit down, we need to do the math, work together. There will be some errors, you know, there'll be some bloody noses out there, that's fine. You know, I love learning the hard way, it's a good way, but you know, as my dad used to say, you don't have to make every mistake yourself, Jason. any questions, please? Yes, sir. Thank you. There's a few brochures on the table or outside, perhaps, too, and has a little more detail of some of my services or commercial energy consulting services. You know, we don't seek to be everything to everyone, but certainly we recognize that there's a few components that are essential in a successful HVAC system. That is the design, obviously, successful acquisition of materials. The installation is critical if that's not done properly. There's post-installation commissioning. There's ongoing monitoring and updating. Commercial Energy Consulting provides all those services. Thank you for asking. Yes, sir?
Yeah, what kind of incentives does the Energy Trust have for that?
Thank you, very good question. The Energy Trust of Oregon has a lot of different incentives for a lot of different buildings and a lot of different applications. In the light commercial sector, for example, those rooftop units, it can be, if you go to a certain efficiency level, now keep in mind, if you want incentive dollars, you're going to be putting in a more efficient than code system. So it's going to cost you more money. So part of that incremental cost is covered by the surcharge we all pay on our utility bills. We all pay that if we're paying a utility bill, so we get some of that money back if we want to put in some efficient equipment. That's what it's there for. It varies. On a rooftop unit, it might be like, you know, $50 to $100, $150 per ton. It depends on the type of application. For greenhouses, there can be some very attractive heating incentives. If you're, you know, if in greenhouses, you have more of a heating consideration. So then, you know, if you do efficient heating, real big dollars there. Economizing cooling, when you get to the next level, they're still actually working that out for producers, to be quite honest. Lighting incentives, I feel, are also fairly solid. If not a little biased towards LEDs, and depending on your strategy or conditions, that may or not work in your favor. That's not a precise answer, but I can get you more specific information if you like, sir.
Right on.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.